I'd like to preach just a little bit on relationships. Now, I'm just an old country boy, and I grew up in the country, and I didn't learn to read real well, and my educational background is very limited, and so I'm a very simple preacher. But that should be okay, because I can look out there and see a bunch of simple-minded people. So, and it's great to be here. But relationships are very, very, very important. And many times we get relationships all messed up and mixed up and out of shape. But God wants us to have the right kind of relationship. Relationships are more important than fame or things. First of all, our relationship is with God. We need to have a good relationship with God. And I would ask you the question tonight, have you received Christ as your personal Savior? And on Sunday night, I'm assuming that most everybody, if not everybody here tonight, has made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart and you fellowship with Him. By the way, did you know that He is the only teacher that you have? Not Jerry Ross, not Gail Russ, not anybody else in this whole world. And by the way, the Holy Spirit, He teaches everybody exactly the same thing. I think I made mention this morning how we get it all messed up and we get it all bent out of shape. But the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within our hearts, and he shall lead us and guide us into all things about God. And so it's very important that we have the right relationship with God. Matthew 6:33, and most of you can quote this verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let me back up here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. So the thing that we are supposed to be seeking and should be seeking on a daily basis is having the right kind of relationship with God. We ought to meet Him in the morning. My wife and I get up every morning and we read our Bible. And we have our Bible. And what a blessing that is. And by the way, I cheat. You know, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. So I cheat. I let the computer read to me. How many of y'all cheat? We got a bunch of cheaters here. But anyway, by the way, that is so helpful, especially when you get into Numbers and Deuteronomy and Judges and all these Old Testament books, you know. And so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. And I tell you what, it's really hard to digest all those names. But the truth is, every one of them there is there for a purpose. Right? Every one of them. And we need to learn something. And I'm learning how to pronounce names better. I've always pronounced most of them wrong, haven't you? And so I'm pronouncing their names better. And, of course, you all know Stephen Ray Nichols, you know, sort of family around here right now, okay? But Stephen Ray Nichols wrote a song called about how that God uses the common man. How many have heard that song? That lonely CD back there is waiting for you. But Stephen Ray Nichols has written some great songs. And by the way, I know you've read your Bible, as I've read my Bible, and I've read over this name many, many times, and it never even registered to me. Bezalel. How many have read the name Bezalel? How many have heard the song? You haven't heard that song? These two ladies over here have. But you ought to hear that song. God spoke to Moses, and he said, Moses, he said, I've got you a man that that I want you to get him to build the Ark of the Covenant. A man by the name of Bezalel. I never noticed that name in the Bible until I heard Stephen Ray Nichols sing that song. But Bezalel is the common man in the Bible that you all have never heard about, that I never heard about, even though I read right over the top of it. It didn't even make an impression on me. But Bezalel, a common man that nobody would ever notice, built the Ark of the Covenant for the tabernacle. Now you go back and check that out and get that lonely CD. But you know, we need to have the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read the Bible speaks to us more and helps us more and more. And like the song says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. Isn't that a wonderful song in the garden? And so the Bible teaches us that as we meet God and have the right relationship with God, that we are to pray. What? Pray what? Pray without ceasing. You know what that means? That means that every one of us are supposed to be in the spirit of prayer every day, every hour, every minute of every day. The greatest companion that you'll ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest guidance that you'll ever have is the Holy Spirit of God. I'm sure that the Holy Spirit of God is grieved. I've grieved the Holy Spirit, haven't you? We all have. But I believe that the Holy Spirit of God also is grieved because people don't use him to study their Bible. Because he is the only one that can teach you the truths of God's word. Jerry Ross can't do it. I can't do it. There's not a preacher on the face of this earth that can teach you the truths of God's word. But it's amazing when you read it and when you hear it preached, the Holy Spirit just lightens up. Lightens it up in your mind and helps you to understand it. And so, number one, we are to have the right relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then number two, it's very important that we have the right relationship with our spouse. Colossians 3:18-19 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. We're living in a world where anything and everything under the sun is pulling the husband and wife relationship apart. Our relationship is very, very important. It is so important. We're supposed to love our wife. By the way, let me share this with you. Adam had the prettiest woman in the whole world. Isn't that right? Okay, you agree with me? Adam had the prettiest, if you don't believe it, just ask him. Adam had the prettiest woman in the whole world. Now let me sort of play with your mind just a little bit. Adam had the ugliest woman in the whole world. There wasn't an uglier woman in the world than Eve. Now, we don't stop and think about that, do we? But Adam had the prettiest woman in the whole world, and he had the ugliest woman in the whole world. And the reason I say that is to say this. Jesus Christ is espoused to one of the ugliest women on the face of this earth. Okay, you with me? Jesus is espoused to the ugliest, one of the ugliest women in this world. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about this church. I'm talking about our church. I'm talking about churches all over the world, all over the country, anywhere you can mention. I mean, when I look at the church, I don't see a lot of beauty there, do you? We're disobedient. We're mean and hateful and unkind, unholy, all of those things. It's an amazing thing that a young lady can walk down the aisle in a white dress and get married. It's amazing the picture that they paint there of Christ in this church. But who was it that took the ungodly woman, Hosea? God told him to marry a woman that was a harlot, right? Now, when you look at the church, that's what you're looking at. That's what you're looking at. So Jesus is espoused to a woman like Hosea was. And yet the Bible says it was given unto her to be dressed in white. So not only is Jesus engaged to the ugliest woman on the face of the earth, she is also the most beautiful woman on the face of the earth. I mean, it don't get any better than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's beautiful. And one of these days, his bride is going to walk down the aisle or march down the aisle or fly through the heavens or however it is, and they're going to be married. And she is going to be a virgin, meet for the Master's use. What a wonderful thought to think about. Now, I know that gets a little bit heavy in thinking, but we ought to think about that, because it's very, very important that we have the right relationship, not only with God, but also the right kind of relationship with our spouse, with our wife, with our husband. That is so very, very important. That's number two. Number three is our relationship with our children. By the way, the wife comes first, because in 20 years, the kids are going to be gone. They're gone. And then another 20 years, the grandkids are going to be gone. I mean, it just don't stop. And while it's been all of their life, it's just been a short time for you, and you say, where did all the time go? And so it's important that you have your right relationship with your wife or with your husband, and then the children come number three. By putting the children third, they love it there. Did you know that? Children love it when you put God first in your life. Children love it when you put your spouse first in your life. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, 20 and 21, and by the way, most of you know this scripture by heart, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, I've got something that I learned from my father, and I sort of tempered it, because my father was a high-strung man. And he didn't tell his children twice to do anything. Are you with me? I mean, he didn't tell us two times to do anything. I mean, it was, and our name wasn't our name when, in those times. Those times, it was boy. Matter of fact, I think I asked my mother one time, Mom, does that know what my name is? But I tempered that with my children, and my children have furthered that even further, because children, boys and girls, let me just talk to you, all the boys and girls here. Now, here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to obey the third time you're told something, right? Is that right? That's not right? Wait a minute, I guess I messed up there. You're supposed to obey the second time you're told something, right? So when are you supposed to obey? When? When? Oh, the first time. Do you obey your parents the first time? How many of you children obey your parents the first time you're told something? Oh, so you're disobedient, children. Well, let me talk to you about your disobedience. You know whose fault that is? It's your parents, not yours. Okay, I'm helping you out here. Because the parents are supposed to be teaching their children to obey the first time. How many of you parents are teaching your children to obey the first time? Huh? How many are teaching? Two or three. Okay. Four or five. It's growing. Okay. Now, let me help you, parents. Let me help you. If you will teach your children to obey the first time, you will save yourself a lot of heartache and headache. And the children get in on the act too, because when they get in the principle of obeying the first time, they like it. They like to be told what to do and be expected to do it the first time. Now, when you do that, you don't do it through harshness and hatred. You do it through kindness. Train up a child in the way it should go, and when it's old, it'll not depart from the way. And so when you're teaching your children to obey the first time, you teach them before the fact and not after the fact. If you wait till they get into trouble, you've waited too long. Now, if they get in trouble, then you deal with it. But let me see, who can I pick on here? Who can I pick on here? You? Can I pick on him? Come here. What's your name? Lucas what?
Abel.
Abel?
Yes, sir.
Did you notice that he obeyed me the first time? Because he was called out in front of all of these people, he did it. Now, Lucas, is that right?
Yes, sir.
I want you to sit down right over there. Now, did you see what he did? He's not in trouble. He didn't do anything wrong. He obeyed the first time. Thank you. You can go be seated. But you see, you teach your children before the fact and not after the fact. So, boys and girls, just remember this. If you don't obey the first time, it's not your fault. Get away with everything you can. Because, yeah, right. Because it's not your fault, it's your parents' fault. And the truth is, you need to learn to obey the first time. It works. It really works. It really does. So children are to obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. By the way, children are not naturally obedient. Matter of fact, the Bible says that they come into this world doing what? What? Speaking lies. I mean, from the very beginning, they know how to lie. And so from the very beginning, you need to learn how to teach your children. Now, by the way, you can give your little girls a week or two, but your boys, you start right away. Don't look at me like that. But relationships are very, very important. And by the way, parents, if you establish the right relationship with your children, they will grow up to call you blessed. And they will love you for it. I am so glad that my parents expected us to obey. Not that I always obeyed. I got away with things. And I think all children probably do. But the truth is, I know that when my daddy told me to do something, I was expected to do it. He never told me twice to do anything that I ever remember. That's just not the way it was. So it becomes very, very important that we have the right relationship with our children. that becomes so very, very important. And then, number four, having the right relationship with your church. In Philippians 2, it says, esteem others better than ourselves. By the way, when you look up esteem, you will not find self-esteem anywhere. Self-esteem. Well, they're just suffering from the lack of self-esteem. No, we got plenty of that. We got plenty of that. But we are to esteem others better than ourselves, because that's what God did. And so you're not going to find self-esteem taught in the Bible. Esteem others better than ourselves, and have the right kind of relationship with our church. And by the way, if you're faithful in this church, you're going to be taught that in this church. Isn't that what you've been taught in this church down through the years?
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Can't you say amen to that?
Yes.
Hebrews 10:25, and this is preaching to the choir tonight, but the Bible says that we are to what does it say, Hebrews 10:25? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord. Jesus is coming again, you know. We do believe that, don't we? And so we need to have the right relationship with our church, esteeming others better than ourselves. And then, number five, and the last one tonight, I'll let you go home, go buy those lonely CDs out there. Having the right relationship with your occupation. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. If somebody hires you for a day's work, what do? You give them a day's work. Now, if they want to reward you more, as you have an example in the Bible about the fellow hiring laborers to go into his field, and at noon he hired more, in the afternoon, the evening, hour before quitting time. If he wants to give you more, if he wants to give you a bonus, that's great. But if you've been hired to do a job, you're cheating your employer if you don't give him what he has hired you to do. Give him a day's work for a day's pay. Not with eye service, not to butter somebody up, but that we might be well spoken of. That man does his job. That man is obedient his job. And he's not doing it just when somebody else is around. Even if they're not around, he's still doing his job. And I have known of people down through the years that you could hire them to do a job, and you can walk off and leave them. Matter of fact, I got some people working with me right now. You can walk off and leave them, and you know that they're going to do the job. You know they're going to do the work because they have established that kind of reputation. There are other people that, you know, you have to watch every move they make. So having the right relationships. First of all, having the right relationship with God, having the right relationship with your spouse, having the right relationship with your children, having the right relationship with your church, and having the right relationship with your occupation. Relationships are very, very important. And if you'll learn that tonight, I think it'll be a help and a blessing to each one of you.